We welcome you into the studio, our exclusive one-on-one with head coach Chip Kelly, presented by Gatorade. I'm Dave Spadaro. Coach, thanks for joining us again. A big one this week against the New York Giants. You talked after the game in Denver about wanting to see your players back at the NovaCare Complex. What have you seen since they've been back?
They were great yesterday. We had a real good day of preparation. Usually we're in on Tuesday and corrections from the game the day, 2 days prior, and then starting to implement the game plan for the Giants. And our guys came back with a great attitude yesterday and expect that to continue.
Four games in, a quarter pole of the 2013 season here. Just in general, how do you feel about the team, kind of the state of the team according to Chip Kelly?
Yeah, I think I like them. I like being around them. I like their mindset. I like how they prepare. Obviously, there's always a transition when you're taking over a team. So it's, you know, we're still feeling our way through, but I think everything we ask of them, their effort, the little teeny things, their attitude that they come here every day has been outstanding.
You see a young core that you like, that you see growing, and that you're going to build around here for the future?
Yeah, I don't look at it like that. I look at it like, do I like the team that we see here every single day? And you don't look at a guy and say, well, he's old, so he's not going to be here next year. I think some of our older players have been fantastic, the Brent Celek, the Todd Herrmanns, the D'Amico Ryans, guys that I think you can show the younger guys this is what it's supposed to be like when you're a professional football player. And I think it starts from the top down, and our older guys have been fantastic. I do see some young guys that I think are going to be really good football players in this league, and will continue to develop, but it's overall liking the entire team.
Four games in here, 1-3 record. The NFC East is wide open. It's an NFC East game this week. And, you know, a win on Sunday, Dallas loses to Denver. Eagles are in first place in the NFC East. As you talk to the team this week, is that big picture message part of it?
Yeah, TBU. True but useless.
Yeah.
They don't give a trophy out for the first week of October. We checked, but they don't. So, and I would put it to you, who was in first place in the first week of October last year?
The Eagles.
Were they?
Yeah, 3-1 after a win against. The season didn't go from there.
You know, we don't talk that way. We really spend our entire focus on 1 week as a season. You know, so whether you win or lose on Sunday, when you come back to work on Tuesday, it's we either gotta stop patting ourselves on the back or stop kicking ourselves in the tail and prepare for our next opponent. And then, what's our Tuesday look like? What's our Wednesday look like? What's our Thursday look like? Leading into our game on Sunday. And that's really the rhythm we have to get in. We're playing on Sundays throughout. We were a little off from a rhythm standpoint just because we played on a Monday, we played on a Sunday, we played on a Thursday. But from now on out, we know when we're playing, we know who we're playing, and it's about getting into a rhythm of understanding that the preparing is the most important thing that we control. And if it's something that we don't control, whether somebody beats somebody else over the weekend or all those other things, you're wasting too much energy on things that aren't in your control. Just worry about what you can control. And our control right now is how do we prepare for the Giants.
Chip, this is a young team, and there are young players. And I'll just use one as an example, Earl Wolf. You like his energy. You like the good things he's doing. He's making some mistakes as well as every young player does. I wonder, what's your approach to coaching somebody like that? Do you accentuate the positives with players like that? Is it, hey, let's good things here, and let's work on the things that are not going as well? I mean, how do you work with young kids trying to bring them into the league? And
I think you got to be straight up honest with them, and tell them exactly what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. You know, I don't think you say, hey, let's just be positive with them and neglect the mistakes he made. And when you have somebody like Earl that wants to get better and has a passion for playing football, then it's easy. You know, he knows when he makes some mistakes, but I think it's our job as coaches to make sure that he doesn't continue to make the same mistake. And a lot of times they're never going to be able to fully understand it until they're put in that situation. You know, you can talk all you want and say, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. And they may grasp it. They can spit it back to you verbatim of this is my responsibility. But until you get an opportunity to see him do it and put him in those situations, do they really truly learn? And I think the one thing about Earl is his energy and I think his confidence in himself hasn't waned. I think he's out there throwing his body around, and you know, you love to see those things. You know, those are sometimes that effort part is a not coaching thing. It's a, you know, it's an intangible that they have and a quality that they have. And it's one of the reasons we really liked Earl in this process and drafted him. And so it's putting him on the field, constantly making sure that he understands what his responsibilities are and what he's supposed to be doing, and then letting him go play. And I think there's that fine line from making sure that he's thinking about a million different things. Well, then he's not playing you know, with that same energy and that same passion, you know, what he can do. So, but I think Earl's progressed since game one. You know, you're into game four. Did he make a couple of mistakes on Sunday? Yeah, but we all made mistakes on Sunday. So, you know, it's a growing process for him.
Bill Davis has talked about the defense making some progress. Specifics that you could mention that you've seen?
You know, I think we've done a really good job of understanding what Billy wants, especially when we're playing zone coverage, of making sure we're deep to short. We're not getting the ball thrown over our head, aside from the one post route right at the end of the first half when we should have had a middle safety and didn't. But besides that, I think, you know, we're keeping the ball in front of us. You know, we got to do a better job of rallying up and tackling when the ball's thrown in front of us. I think our effort's good. I think our guys run to the football on the defensive side of the ball. So, obviously, it's a work in progress. You know, when you're new coming in and everything's new to everybody, you know, you're 4 games into what we hope will be a very, very long tenure here. It's a process, and we have to understand the process is that you have to walk before you run. But we got a bunch of guys that we trust, and we'll continue to develop them.
Is part of that keeping everything in front of you one of the reasons why the red zone defense? I mean, Denver was not as good as you wanted it, but prior to that, the red zone defense had been pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's in the red zone, you're not really talking about keeping guys in front of you because people aren't going to run by you down there in the red zone. That's not a little bit different.
Well, why have you had success for the most part?
Well, I think our guys do a good job when they understand, you know, that moving the ball between the 20s is, although it's important, it's not the end all. It's really being sharp in the red zone. I think things start to tighten up down there, and the windows are a little bit tighter. You're a little bit closer to your work, and I think our guys are doing a good job of that.
This running offense, number one in the NFL, Chip, why so successful? Can you kind of talk about, take us inside, the scheme, is it the same that you ran in Oregon, or are there tweaks that have been added?
There's a lot of tweaks, but I think obviously, number one, any type of success you have in this game starts with personnel. I think we have a very solid offensive line. You know, there's a couple veterans in there that have played a lot of football, and Todd and Evan and Jason Peters, and then you throw in the athleticism of Jason Kelce and obviously Lane Johnson at tackle. I don't think Brent Celek gets enough credit for how well he's blocking right now. And we've got some backs that can run, and you also have a threat of run from your quarterback. So I think you're making people defend the field a little bit more. You know, it's not just a 5'3" guy in the 40 at quarterback handing the ball off and carrying out a fake. Well, you really don't expect that type of guy to be able to run the ball. And in the few times that Mike has been asked to run the ball as a play call, he's been very, very successful. So, you know, you really got two running threats in the backfield. You got an athletic line that, you know, it's got some veteran present to us, and you got a tight end that's really blocking well, and our receivers are blocking real well downfield. So
you feel like the red zone offense is just eliminates some of these mistakes and everything's going to be okay?
Yeah, I think that's on us. You know, sometimes you tip your cap and say, hey, that's a hell of a play by them. But I think in most instances in the red zones, whether it be a drop or a penalty, you know, that's on us. And we call those self-inflicted wounds, and we need to clean those up. We feel if we can clean up that, you know, although you're happy with the yardage you get, the yardage doesn't mean anything to you. That's another TBU. It's true but useless. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to score points especially when we're in the red zone. We've proven we can drive the ball in 4 games, but we need to come away with more points.
I do hesitate to ask about statistics because there are some TBUs. What are important statistics other than wins and points scored?
Turnover battle's huge. You know, mm-hmm. I thought we did a real good job. I think that was our demise in the Chiefs game. You know, offensively, we didn't get it done. We turned the ball over too many times. We turned the ball over once on special teams. You know, when we threw an interception for a touchdown, that's 7 points, and we fumbled the ball on our 8-yard line. They kicked a field goal. We lost the game by 10. I mean, you can point directly to that. You know, I think that's a little bit more telling stat. And then even more important than that, we always talk about response after turnover. You know, in the first situation, our defense did an outstanding job. You put them on the field on the 8-yard line and to hold Kansas City to a field goal, that's just because you turn it over doesn't mean they're supposed to score, you know. And the same thing for us. If our defense creates turnovers for us, we need to turn those into points because you can be +3 in the turnover category, but if your offense doesn't do anything when they go back on the field, then it really doesn't matter if you're +3. So, you know, we spend more time on the turnover and response after turnovers and some of the other stats that people look at.
What are the Giants looking like to you? You've spent a lot of time, obviously, watching them this week.
Yeah, they've been hurt. Mm-hmm. It's a really good football team. There's some outstanding football players on that team. You know, Eli Manning's one of the great quarterbacks in this league. He's already won 2 Super Bowls. But I think they've been banged up. They've been banged up specifically on the offensive line, on the offensive side of the ball. But they do still have 2 outstanding receivers in Hicks and Cruz. Wilson at running back, I think, is a young player that is really starting to come into his own. So he's a dangerous threat. Anytime you have Eli Manning as your quarterback, they're always a threat. Defensively, Jason Pierre-Paul is one of the top defensive linemen in this league, along with Justin Tuck. He's coming off an injury, starting to round back into form. And they've had some injuries in the secondary. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what combinations they're going to put out there. But I think anytime you see the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Giants, that you know it's going to be a slugfest.
Are you one of those guys who believe the wounded animal is the most dangerous kind of animal?
I believe any animal is the most dangerous. So I don't think you put more stock in that just because he's wounded, now we have to pay more attention to him. Is that, you know, they've had our focus in terms of everything that we've done since our game against the Broncos, whether they have injuries or don't have injuries. I don't think you look at them and say, oh, they're not injured, so this one's going to be easy. There are no easy games.
Yeah. Coach, a lot of crazy things happen up there. Good luck on Sunday.
Okay.
Come back with a win. Chip Kelly in studio exclusively, presented by Gatorade. We thank you for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus steak and cheese wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Joining me now inside the studio, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, the great Merrill Reese. Merrill, how are you?
I'm not great today,
right?
But I am fine.
But we've recovered from Sunday's game against Denver.
Well, and there's a reason, because you can't feel sorry for yourself, because 90% of the people don't care and the other 10% are glad.
A chipism.
You know, and that's a good chipism. I like that. There's no reason to feel sorry for yourself. It's early in the season, and this is the week that counts. This is the game that the Eagles have to have. So as Chip would say, I have put the Denver game in the rearview mirror, and it's full speed ahead to the Meadowlands.
Denver was a revealing game, however. I mean, if you want to go against the best in the league to see where you match up. And for a half, the Eagles matched up pretty well, Merrill. I liked the approach. I liked running the football. I thought the Eagles did a nice job up and down the field. But, boy, when they are getting near the red zone or in the red zone, there are some big problems here. The drop by Brent Celek killed one drive. The hold by Evan Mathis, a penalty on Lane Johnson as well. Merrill, the Eagles need to solve these red zone issues.
Well, they do. And it would be one thing, Dave, if it were a repeating issue. But it's not. You just named three or four different reasons that they didn't score in the red zone. So they just have to get better from a overall team standpoint.
I think everybody's going to watch this game on Sunday and start, of course, with the offensive line, the defensive line matchups on both sides. I think we all expected the Eagles' offensive line, Merle, to be great this year. Hasn't been great. Been good at times. Been very good at times. Also has struggled at times. When you look at the offensive line, Merle, what needs to be done here to get this thing right?
Just more experience. It's a play here, it's a play there, not to throw out cliches, but Evan Mathis is a fine guard, and yet he took a bad holding penalty that negated a big gain. Lane Johnson is a terrific draft pick. He's going to be a Pro Bowl offensive lineman soon in his career, but he's a rookie. The two positions that I have always heard that are the most difficult to make the transformation from college to the NFL are quarterback and offensive line. So it would be unrealistic to assume he's going to go in there and grade out 100% every game. And he will have his struggles.
Yeah, and the edges with Jason Peters on the left side and Lane on the right side this week against the Giants. While the Giants haven't been as productive on the defensive side as they had in recent years, still, you've got Jason Pierre-Paul, you've got Kiwanuka. There is a pass rush. Justin Tuck, mm-hmm. There is a pass rush presence here that the Giants can dominate a game.
Yeah, they can. And they're scary because they are an 0-4 team. And I can't imagine a Tom Coughlin team going 0-5. So you're going to have to go in there and play the best game you possibly can play.
Yeah, now for the Giants offensive line, we see the comparison of these two offenses, Merrill. That offensive line ravaged by injuries, and it really shows up in the run game. The Giants 30th in the league rushing the football, 57.8 yards per game. Third down efficiency, 22.9%, dead last in the NFL. That's shocking, Merrill, just 15 points a game for the New York Giants.
Yeah, it is. But you can look at David Wilson, who's their leading ball carrier. He's averaging a mere 3 yards a carry. Shady McCoy is twice that at 6 yards a carry. So there's no comparison.
But Merrill, in this game, look, the Eagles' defense, they have to get off the field. They've got to step up. They've got mm-hmm. to take the football away. Bill Davis has answered all the questions. Hard work, stay together, keep getting better. It seems to be a defense that wants to keep offenses in front of them. Do you want to be a little bit more aggressive against Eli Manning in this game?
Well, you have to go after him. The funny thing is he's been sacked 14 times, which is the exact number that Michael Vick has been sacked. The thing is, Dave, I have to ask you this. When you look at their receivers, they have talent.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They have talent. They have more than one dangerous wide receiver.
Right.
They probably have three.
Right.
Maybe even four.
So if you're giving them a cushion and you're letting Nicks and Cruz and Randall catch the football in front of you, that's iffy. I mean, they will make catches. They will break tackles. And they will get down the field on you.
Oh, they're dangerous. There's no doubt about that. This is a dangerous game. Anybody who assumes that, oh, well, the Giants have been so bad. I mean, they scored 7 points against Kansas City. Forget that. They are going to play before their home crowd with a lot of passion, and you've got to go out there and play well to beat them. It's not going to be a cruise. Oh, well, I don't mean the pun.
A Victor Cruz, right.
Hopefully it's not a salsa dance afternoon.
I don't think anybody could even suggest that a 1-3 team would go into a road game and have it easy.
Here's the thing. Eli Manning, at this point, after three games, has thrown 9 interceptions.
Yeah.
The Eagles have not had a pick since the Washington game.
Right, right.
Since opening game.
Defensively, you've got to put pressure on Eli. You've got to figure out a way to generate it with the 4-man rush. And the Eagles need Trent Cole, and they need Connor Barwin, and they need Fletcher Cox, etc., to win the one-on-one battles up front.
Maybe Vinny Curry.
Yeah. Vinny Curry, not a whole lot of playing time against Denver. Thought maybe he would get some more reps after a good performance mm-hmm. against the Kansas City Chiefs. Did not happen. Eagles in a situation here, Merrill, where a win on Sunday coupled with a Dallas loss to Denver makes the Eagles somehow a 2-3, tied for first place
tied
in the
first,
NFC.
Well, actually, they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, it's a remarkable opportunity for everyone in this division. Through the first quarter of the season, you see the struggles this division has had, Merrill. Let's hope the Eagles take advantage of that.
Do you ever think you'd see the NFC East at this point with 4 wins and 12 losses?
Yeah. Well, no. I it has been a struggle through the first 4 games. This is where the schedule certainly takes its turn. It's not only the Giants. It's at Tampa Bay and then it's Dallas and the Giants back in Philadelphia. So this is the month. And then the Raiders.
This is where you really want to make your month. Absolutely.
Yeah. Eagles ready to do it, Merle?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I believe so. My enthusiasm, my hopes for this team have not dissipated. I still believe Chip Kelly is a smart, capable coach. But I just think there's an adjustment process with new coaches, new systems, that takes time. And we've said from the beginning that it's going to be a work in progress, and I still feel that way.
All right, Merrill Reese, it is time to talk about something that happened in Eagles history 35 years ago.
Wow.
The miracle of the Meadowlands, Miracle One. Let's take you back to 1978. Merrill Reese with the call.
I was 12.
Under 30 seconds left in the game. From here on in, Pazarczyk can just fall on the football and there is nothing the Eagles can do. And Pazarczyk fumbles the football. It's picked up by Herman Edwards. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Eagles. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I do not believe what has occurred here, ladies and gentlemen. Talk about miracles, folks.
35 years, Merrill.
35 years. Isn't
remarkable play, huh?
To this day, it stands out. It was November 19th, 1978, my first full year in the play-by-play booth. I took over with two games to go in the 77 season. So my first full year, and all of these years, I thought I'd never see anything like it, and I haven't, although I'll tell you, Walk-off home, grand slam home run against the Giants was right there.
Did it change the way you approach broadcasting in the sense that, you know, the game is never over until it's over?
It made me realize that every time I leave the house or the hotel to do a game, I may see something that I have never seen before. I mean, in 37 seasons, this week, there could be some play, some moment, some finish that I have never seen before. Do you remember who my color commentator was at that time?
I don't.
It was the late Jim Barniak.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jim Barniak from Prism and from the Philadelphia Bulletin.
Mm-hmm.
Merrill, the game, it really, if you look at some of the fun facts here from that game, look at that. Don Crickey and Sonny Jurgensen in the booth for CBS. Eagles trailed the Giants. Giants got off to a big start there, 17-6 lead. And how about Joe Pisarcik, who later played for the Eagles, needing a police escort following the game? I know that to this day, Joe is ribbed about it and takes it in stride.
He does.
But a kind of a change in the season for both teams at that point.
I'll tell you something else. The head of operations, the guy for the Giants, was John McVay, and they fired the offensive coordinator before the sun came up the next morning. And his name was, and I can remember this because it was the same name as the Hall of Fame baseball pitcher, his name was Bob Gibson.
Right.
Fired the next morning.
Who scored a touchdown for the Eagles that day?
Herman Edwards.
Right, Bobby Hammond.
Bobby Hammond.
Who missed the two extra points were missed that day by the Eagles. I believe two extra points missed that day by the Eagles. A horrible kicking season for the Eagles. Mike Michelle, the place kicker at that time.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so because Mike Michelle only, you might be right. You might be right because he hardly kicked. He was really the punter.
Right.
A guy from Stanford. He was really the punter, and he was pressed into duty because the regular kicker, Nick Mickemeyer, out of Temple, was injured.
Right.
So it was. And then, of course, he missed the field goal against Atlanta in the wild card playoff.
Right. 35 years ago this season, the miracle of the Meadowlands won. Merrill Reese, thanks for the memories as the Eagles prepare for the Giants this week.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa.
Check out this new couch.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA. Use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. Chip Kelly's press conference coming up in just a couple of moments. In the meantime, give us a call, 215-339-6709. Predictions, conversation, a little chit-chat about the Eagles and the Giants. A rivalry renewed on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. And, yeah, the 35th anniversary of the first miracle of the Meadowlands. Good to talk to Merrill Reese about that one. And I actually spoke to Ike Reese this morning about it for the five things you need to know for tomorrow. And Ike was always about the Giants as the number one rival, the bitter rival, the most bitter rival of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think a lot of people felt that way. Spike in Denver joins us. Spike, you holding up okay out there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
How you doing, buddy?
I actually met you a year ago in Trader Joe's in Ardmore.
Oh, yeah, I remember you. That's
remember
right.
Me?
We were in line. That's correct.
Yeah.
How you doing?
A couple observations.
Yeah.
First of all, great website. Unbelievable website.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
I came out here originally, Dave, to go to school. I went to CU.
Yeah.
And I can tell you I was in phenomenal shape when I went to CU. At the time, I could run a half mile in just under 2 minutes, that kind of stuff.
Right.
I come out here getting a pickup game of basketball behind the house that I was living in. Thought I was going to die. Up and down the court maybe three times, my lungs were locking up.
Huh.
So I don't think people correctly understand what it means to come from sea level and have to play up here at altitude.
Well, Spike, that's why in the bench area for both teams, there are ample supplies of oxygen. That's why you see players during the course of a game hitting that oxygen quite a bit.
Absolutely, Dave. I just want to say it's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's very, very real.
Yeah. I don't think it – I mean, look, it obviously affected LeSean McCoy, so thereby – you know, therefore it affected the Philadelphia Eagles. But hey, the Denver Broncos took it to the Eagles on Sunday. Whether they were playing at sea level or whether they were playing a mile high, the Broncos were a better football team on Sunday, no doubt about it.
Much better, not even close. So we agree on that.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? Go ahead, keep going.
Second observation, Dave. Do you know how many Eagles, former Eagles, are starting for other NFL teams?
That's a great question. Well, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a former Eagle starting for another team. Help me out here.
I know how many, Dave. I can tell you.
Tell me.
15.
Really? Name some names.
Okay. At Miami, you got Gibson. Remember the receiver we had?
Yeah, Brandon Gibson, possession guy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Cromartie in Denver.
Yep.
In Kansas City, Akeem Jordan.
Amazingly. Uh-huh.
San Diego, the amazing Dunlap.
Incredible.
Pittsburgh, Felix Jones is the first team running back.
Not anymore, but yeah.
Okay. This is an amazing one. Down at Tennessee, Foku.
Moses Foku, right. He's starting down there.
Indianapolis, Havili at fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, Babin, of course. New York, Jenkins, Colin Jenkins.
Colin Jenkins.
Washington, Savroke is their punter.
Right.
St. Louis, Will Witherspoon.
Yes. I will tell you, though, this list, you know, Spike, none of those players are difference-making kinds of players. I mean, I would argue that the Eagles are in a better situation with Jason Peters at left tackle than they would be if King Dunlap, for example, were the starting left tackle.
Couldn't agree more.
You know?
The next one, I'm really wondering if we should have let him go, especially the way things have been going.
Who's that?
Asante Samuel in Atlanta.
And I'm going to get your prediction. Give me your prediction real quick because Chip's coming up in a moment. I'm going to talk about Asante. Go ahead. What's your prediction for Sunday?
My prediction for Sunday is 24-17 Eagles.
Okay, great. Spike, here's my thing with Asante Samuel and Rogers Cromartie. The way that they kind of adjusted to this situation in 2011 and 2012, Asante was obviously gone by then, but I mean, they were not team leaders. They were not productive. They were caught in a cycle of losing here, and they did not respond by stepping up. I mean, I would argue that Dominic Rogers-Cromartie was terrible last year. Nnamdi Asamoah is the starter for the San Francisco 49ers. He was terrible last year. When you are in a different environment, when you are in a winning environment, and your quarterback is on your case, and you've got this locker room that's coming together, you know, every player in the league is talented. When you're in that winning environment, it brings out the best in you. It's a lot harder to play at your best when your team is not winning. And you find out a lot about players. And,
oh, yeah.
And
we're on the same page, Dave.
Yeah, the Eagles found out.
Just citing the players. I didn't mean to say we should have
kept them. I don't mean that. But I know there are some people who say, well, why is DRC so good now? Why is Nnamdi starting over here? Why is Clay Harbor getting time down there? It's just a different situation. Every player in the league is talented, and you've got to put them on the field, give them a chance to be successful, and then there's other factors, leadership in the locker room, coaching, all that environment, and that helps you out. That helps. When you're in a winning situation, everybody plays their best football, or you're gone.
Absolutely. There's one on the list that I do think we should have kept.
Who's that?
I'll tell you the team he plays for. Maybe you can tell me.
Okay.
Carolina.
Carolina.
Defense.
Carolina's defense. I don't
secondary.
Know. Oh, Quentin Michael?
Quentin Michael.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Spike. I got to get to Chip. Interesting case, Quentin Michael. Would probably tell you that back when he left the team, I think it was after the 2008 season, would probably have kept Quentin Michael. Still had some productive years left with the St. Louis Rams. Was a free agent on the streets the entire summer. I don't know how well he's playing in Carolina. I can tell you this, though. What Sean McDermott is doing with that Carolina front seven really helps the back four. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They drop out of that zone blitz formation, the concept, that scheme. I watched them against the Giants. They were all over Eli Manning. And Quentin Michael benefits from that. When you are a safety, when I look at the Eagles' defense and I see young Earl Wolf and Nate Allen and Patrick Chung and these cornerbacks as well, it's really hard to play that position when you're not getting the pressure from your front four. The Eagles this week against a banged-up Giants front. Now, they may get David Deal back. They may move Justin Pugh inside. We'll see what the Giants come with. But if they don't get pressure on Eli Manning, it's going to make it really hard for the secondary, no matter what secondary you are, no matter how good you are in coverage. The rules of the game now make it such that it is so difficult to play pass defense. You've got to get the pressure up front. And in the big picture here with the Philadelphia Eagles, if we look at the numbers, getting a premier pass rusher or two or three is what's going to turn this defense around. You can complain about the cornerbacks and you can complain about the safeties and valid arguments, no question. But if you do not have a great pass rush, the rest of your defense is in trouble. And that's what the Eagles are finding out here. They're not getting the front four to the quarterback. So if you don't get the front four to the quarterback, you have to manufacture ways to do it with the blitz. Nobody wants the blitz. Bill Davis is doing everything he can. You look at the numbers, 32nd in the league in yards per game, 31st in the league against the pass. And there's a reason for that. The Eagles not getting to the quarterback, and it all starts, very elementary, at the line of scrimmage. Most important, 34.5 points per game. Not all, of course, on the Eagles' defense, evidenced by Sunday, two special teams touchdowns scored against Philadelphia. Dave Spadaro with you. Chip Kelly will be along in just a bit. Then after that, we're going to have a Cover 2 segment with a couple of Philadelphia writers, Ruben Frank and Paul Domowicz, and they will talk about this Eagles team at the quarter point of the 2013 NFL season. We also are taking your predictions throughout the rest of the show for you, 215-339-6709. I wonder, what's your biggest rivalry? Is it the Giants? Is it the Redskins? Is it the Dallas Cowboys, who are in town in a couple of weeks? This critical stretch for the Eagles with the Giants at Tampa Bay, winless, coming off their bye week next week. Home with the Cowboys, home with the Giants at the Oakland Raiders. Can the Eagles run the table? Five straight wins? We'll be dancing up and down the streets here. Can you imagine getting to 6-3? We take a look at it here. Imagine a win on Sunday, a Dallas loss to Denver, and the Eagles in first place in the NFC East. But I really love Chip's answer this morning. They don't give out trophies for being in first place in October. And he's right, but it is nice to get into position for that late season run. I wonder if Chip has some Buddy Ryan in him. Buddy Ryan was always, when the snow flies, that's when the games really matter. I'm waiting for the Chipism for late in the season football. We get a lot of them. There was one today. What was the one today? Truthful but useless information? TDU? TBU. True but useless information. All right, Chip Kelly meeting the media in the media tent on the practice field.
The update on Chung? Chung and Boykin are both limited today. They'll go through some things, but they won't go through the full practice. So those are the only two guys.
What's Boykin's issue?
What is it? Shoulder, maybe?
Find out. So from the game, did it get banged up a little bit? Or?
Yeah.
When Chung comes back, will you go Chung, Nate, or you continue to rotate Earl and Nate out?
It all depends on when he comes back and what his health status is, you know. So I leave a lot of that when it comes to injury situations that our trainers and doctors will tell us, you know, what he's capable of.
Whatever that is, do you have a plan for that?
No, we don't have a plan for that.
So. Who practices in Boykin's place as the nickel?
Poyer is in there a little bit right now. But we anticipate, I think Brandon's going to practice tomorrow, so I don't think it's a big issue.
Is that from going up against an offensive lineman on one of the plays? Do you happen to know?
No, it actually happened on a punt as a gunner.
Cole doesn't have any sacks. He didn't have anything in the last year. Are you satisfied with his play to this point?
I like Trent's effort. I like what he's doing. He's been asked to do some different things in terms of what Billy's scheme is compared to what he was asked to do in the past. But, I think everything we've asked Trent to do, he's been doing. So.
You're anxious to see how these guys were going to come in off of that loss. Yeah. And said that you would learn a lot. What have you seen?
Yeah, they were great yesterday. You know, there was actually a lot of guys in on Monday, even though that's their day off. But I really like this group. I like them I like their mindset. I like their attitudes. You like being around them. I think they work extremely hard. So, and I was really pleased with how they came back yesterday. And then when we told them, like, everything, you know, now we got to continue that. So yesterday we build upon it. We just can't take a step back today. So.
Just to clarify on Chung and Boykin, you said they're limited today, but you think Brandon will be what, full tomorrow, by tomorrow?
That's what we hope is, yeah.
Okay, what about Chung, though?
I don't know that one.
Okay.
When you talk about Trent and the outside linebackers, obviously him and Connor bringing you stuff against the run, but can that defense, with the defense you're trying to play, be successful without one of your outside linebackers being a real force as a pass rusher?
I mean, I think you need to generate a pass rush, whether it comes from your outside linebackers or your inside guys. It doesn't matter as long as you're generating a pass rush. So,
where are you as far as that goes? I mean, are you... as far as pass rush goes in general,
we need to get, more pressure on the quarterback. That's obvious.
In the second half this year, you're being outscored, I think, 81-44. Are teams adjusting to what you're showing in the first half, or is this more circumstantial than anything else?
I think most a lot of teams that we've played so far have run the same thing in the first half as they have in the second half. So, you know, from an offensive standpoint of what you're facing, so I don't see that as a, it's not a ski. I don't. It's, it hasn't been a schematic change from first half to second half.
How's Fletcher Cox taken to the two gap techniques, and what have you seen from him in the first four games?
Fletch is like everybody on defense. He's learning on the run, you know, and there's times and all of a sudden Fletch flashes and does a really good job, but he doesn't two gap on every play, you know. I think so. And maybe that may be a misconception. You know, there's a lot of times we're in our nickel front, we're in a four down package, so that we're in a one gap defense on the defensive side of the ball. It varies depending on what the defense is called, but I think Fletch obviously has got a lot of athletic ability. He can be a problem at times. He's created some mismatches in there. We just need, like everybody, whether it's offensively, defensively, or special teams, we just need more consistency.
In nickel, when you're in the three down front, but out, often rushing four guys, there are those guys?
Two gapping? No.
No.
Chip, Polk and Bryce gave you some good plays. Yeah. Are you looking at expanding the roles even more, alleviating some of the pressure off Shady Mays?
A lot of that depends on how many snaps we're getting, you know, and obviously you want to get those guys involved in the game, but you know, we've been in some games where our snaps have been down. You know, we've been in other games where our snaps have been up. So we really just kind of have Deuce manages those guys on the sideline, you know, and he's rotating them. But there's never any situation with where any of them were, hey, he needs to be in the game to run this. All that's the versatility of all three of them and the strengths of all three of them is that, you know, our offense doesn't change a beat. So it's not like I'll look up calling a play and say, why isn't he in the game? It's, you know, we can run everything we need to run. And then Deuce is really in charge of those guys in terms of rotation and getting those guys in and getting those guys out. But I think you're right. I think Bryce is starting to pick things up. And I thought Chris, in the limited time that Chris has gotten in there, Chris has done some really good things for us. So.
Chip, you said last week Vinny was improving as a two-gap guy. But you didn't really play him a whole lot in those first three quarters against Denver. Just hadn't improved enough? Or
yeah, I mean, he's improving. I mean, that doesn't – I guess the question – the answer to the question last week is he improving? The answer is yes. But, you know, I also still think we've got some – I think the one thing that you have to realize is Cedric Thornton is probably playing our best defensive football right now. You know, and if you're putting Vinny in, who are we taking out? Like I've said that all along. So are you taking Cox off the field? Are you taking Sed off the field? You know, I think Sed had five tackles on Sunday. You know, so you're getting a lot of production out of him. You know, it's just in terms of is he improving? Yeah, he's improving as a player, but is he improving enough to supplant Sed right now? I don't see that happening.
Can you have those guys, like, can you get – change the scheme around a little bit so you get more of your best passers on the field but also can do two gap and one gap? Or
it depends on what you're defending, you know. So I think that's really that chess match we've talked about all the time that goes on within the game. You know, you just can't get their script and say, hey, I know what they're doing, you know what I mean? So it just depends on really kind of playing situational football, and that's the match that goes on. You know, sometimes we got nickel on the field and they're trying to run the ball, you know, and then you try to get nickel off the field and go base, but then they're throwing the ball. That's kind of What we try to do offensively is the same thing that other offenses are trying to do to a defense, trying to get those mismatches.
What's your patience level with rookies that are starting, like Earl Wolf and Lane Johnson?
I don't understand the question.
Well,
our level's the same for everybody. Regardless of what year you are, there's no question. So I don't look at someone and say, he's a rookie, it's okay to make mistakes, or he's a 10th-year guy, it's not okay to make mistakes. Is that the way we judge all of our players is the same.
The rookies, these are guys that we want to develop, and we're going to live with some of the mistakes because we want to see how they're going to play.
We say that with all of our guys, is does putting a player on the field give you an advantage or a disadvantage? You know, and that's how we approach everything. So, you know, we're not just throwing guys out there saying, I know this one particular player is going to make mistakes, but he's going to help us down the road. Our goal is to win every game that we play, and when we go out there, we're trying to win games.
What is Cedric doing that's so impressive?
Everything. He's playing with great effort. You know, I think he's got a real, real high motor. He's a real technician. He's really taken to Az in the system that we're teaching over there on the defensive line. Very rarely is he out of position. You know, I think he's a technician. He plays with great effort, and that's what you're seeing. You know, he's really a byproduct of putting it all together, and that's what he's doing right now.
Obviously, Eli and Peyton are different people, different players. Is there any advantage in playing them back-to-back, any type of carryover?
No, I think it's obviously they're brothers, and obviously they're both extremely successful quarterbacks, but it's two different offensive systems, you know, in terms of what Denver's running and what the Giants are running. So I don't see an advantage that, hey, Peyton did this, Eli's going to do this, you know.
What do you see from them this year, Eli in particular? And obviously, they're not the start that they want, but when you watch the tape, what have you seen from the Giants?
I see from Eli, you know, the one thing that you marvel at is just how accurate he is. You know, he may be the best deep ball thrower in a game. The other thing that I don't think Eli gets enough credit for, and at least I just don't see him talked about a lot, is just how tough he is. I mean, he gets hit and just gets up and has the same exact demeanor and then goes and continues to do the same exact thing. I think there's a real toughness to Eli and just an extreme accuracy when he's throwing the football, so that, you know, there's times when I think everybody thinks, well, hey, we're pretty close in our coverage, and all of a sudden he fits the ball in there. And especially with balls down the field, I think more than – I think that's what kind of separates Eli from a lot of other quarterbacks, just how accurate he is in his down the field throws. So.
I'm sorry, what about on the other side of the ball defensively when you look at the tape? What do you see from the Giants so far?
I think the lineup's been varied a little bit. They've lost some guys at linebacker with Connor going out. You know, they've had a couple different lineups in there from a defensive standpoint, same in, at the linebacker level and at the secondary level. I think the strength of their defense is their front, you know, with Tuck and – Jason Pierre-Paul, Linville Joseph, Cullen Jenkins, and those guys inside on up front. And I think it's, you know, you're not sure exactly. And a part of it will be what you see from them in practice this week. You know, they're getting Will Hill back, who was suspended. You know, how does he add? They actually only had two safeties active for last game. You know, so that'll tell you a little bit about some of the depth issues that they have in the secondary. But, you know, they're an attacking-style defense. They're going to pressure you, you know, about 40% of the time. You know, and they bring it from different angles. It's not always the same guy. So you got to be pretty heads up in terms of what you're doing protection-wise, and they do a good job of mixing their mans and their zones.
You mentioned the other day about the protection for Michael needs to improve and everything. Have you been able to, like, see anything from watching film maybe the last few days, like ways that can improve?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time as a staff. That's what we have to, you know, we got to make sure that we shore up. We've varied our protections, whether they're five-man, six-man, or seven-man protections, and it's not, again, it's not one thing where it's this, and then that's the quick fix, and just change that particular thing, and then we're all set, you know. And sometimes we're in seven-man gap protection, and we get beat in a four-man rush, and then other times it was, you know, a blitz look or different things. It's just, it's a matter of, as a group, this entire operation has only been together a short amount of time, and we need to continue to grow and experience things, and then when they happen, correct them and make sure they don't happen again.
Harriman's had played guard in a couple of years, so you guys put him in right guard. He seems to occasionally get bull rushed a little bit more, and can't remember that happening to him a lot when he played left guard. So is it, do you think that, you know, going back to a different technique is a little bit more of an adjustment?
I never watched Todd play left guard, so I can't answer that question. I do know that I thought Todd played a lot better against the Denver Broncos than he did in the Chiefs game, and really, I thought, you know, really, when you go through that game, I thought he played really well. That was maybe his best game of the year was against the Broncos. So I see Todd improving. I see him getting better. So, you know, I'm excited where that group is going. I think it's we got five guys that are pretty good football players, and we got to continue to develop all of them.
You think back, what was the internal debate when Tom Coughlin offered you the job and you decided to stay at UNH?
What was the what? I missed the first
internal debate.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
The internal debate was it was a quality control position, and I wasn't coaching a position, so it was more just, you know, there. That part of, you know, when you get to a point where I was, whether it doesn't matter what level you're at, you know, you're designing offense, you're calling plays, you're coaching an individual position, and then whether, even though it's a huge step up going from New Hampshire to the Giants, that was it. But I had all the respect in the world for Coach, and you know, I think he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's won two Super Bowls. He would have been a great person to learn for, but at that point in time, it was probably it was a great job, but it just wasn't the right job at the right time.
Nate Allen, what has he done over the last two games to kind of eliminate the negative plays that he was having?
I think, like everybody, Nate's just improving. You know, he's getting a little bit more comfortable out there. Things are starting to happen, and maybe they're happening at the same speed, but in his mind maybe a little bit slower. Starting to see things and diagnose them. He's getting an opportunity to see the same pattern recognition over and over and over again. And as you start to get more comfortable in the scheme and with the calls, things start to settle down a little bit. And I've seen Nate improve. Just like I've seen Todd improve, you know, even though, you know, those guys aren't rookies, you know, everybody, every single day can continue to improve as a group, and I think that's what you've seen out of Nate in the last two games. That's what you've seen out of Todd in this last game.
Michael Vick continues to get hit a fair amount. Is it O-line related, or is it self-inflicted?
Again, I there's not one answer. So, you know, when he gets to the top of his drop and our right or left tackle or an inside guy gets beat before he gets to have his feet set, that would be the offensive line related, you know, and there's some other times I think he's done a better job when he's in the open field of getting down. You know, he hasn't, since the Redskins game, got in front of a play and blocked anybody. So it has to be, again, looking specifically, but I don't think, you know, he hasn't taken really any hits in the run game. You know, I think he's done a really good job from that standpoint. There's just some things, again, as a group, but protection is an 11-man deal. It's guys getting open when they're supposed to get open. It's making sure we have a hat on the right guys and making sure the quarterback gets the ball out on time. So it's a combination of all those things.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Brandon Boykin, shoulder contusion.
Exit stage left for head coach Chip Kelly. You heard the head coach talking there. We've got some injuries to update. Both Patrick Chung and Brandon Boykin out for practice today. Sounds like Chung is a bit more of a long-term injury than is Boykin. Eagles expecting Boykin back on the practice field tomorrow. Critical in the slot against Victor Cruz. For the moment, Jordan Poyer, seventh-round draft pick, takes the reps in practice today there. That is something very important for this defense, that Boykin gets back on the practice field. Cruz can kill a defense all by himself. When we return to Eagles Live, we take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles from an outside perspective, our Cover 2 segment with Paul Domowicz from the Philadelphia Daily News, Ruben Frank from CSNPhilly.com. That and our NovaCare rehabilitation tip of the day. You got to stay hydrated. All that and a whole lot more coming your way. Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Hi, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson. Welcome to our Cover 2 segment, and we have two of the best in the business this week. Ruben Frank from Comcast SportsNet here in Philadelphia, and Paul Domowicz from the Philadelphia Daily News. And guys, let's look at the offense first. Going back to Sunday's performance against the Broncos, Michael Vick. Rube, what did you think of his performance and how he's performed this season overall?
You know, Chris, I think considering that he's four games into a completely new scheme with new coaches and
He hasn't gotten the protection that I anticipated he would get from this offensive line being healthy. I think he's played pretty well. I think he's cut down the turnovers. He had a couple against the Chiefs. But I think for the most part, considering this is all new to him, you have a guy who's 33 and he's starting over basically with a whole new scheme. I think he's been pretty good. You know, he's just got to I think he does tend to tuck it down and run it a little too much, and that scares you. But he's thrown the ball fairly well. He's been accurate. The red zone's the one thing that, you know, he's just got to be more efficient down inside the 20.
Damo, is he holding on to the ball too long in your estimation? What do you think he's doing in terms of getting rid of the ball and distributing it to his receivers?
Yeah, I mean, he is who he is, and you kind of have to deal with a lot of his shortcomings. And the two problems with him is he holds on to the ball too much when he isn't pressured. And you saw his trust in the protection isn't great right now. Part of it certainly warranted. You saw some situations on Sunday where he bolted when he didn't have to. Third play of the game, he got outside pressure. All he had to do was step up. The inside pocket was secure, and he could have kept looking for receivers, but he bolted, got a 4-yard gain out of it. But, you know, that's going to be him.
Domo, looking at the defense, does Bill Davis need to change his philosophy of allowing the underneath stuff and maybe take some more risk in that you might get burned by some big plays, but at the very least you might be more aggressive for some of the stuff underneath?
Yeah, you know what? My personal opinion is no. I mean, I agree with his philosophy of not giving up the deep ball. I mean, what's happening is when you do that, you've got to tackle well, you've got to limit the yards after the catch, and they're not doing that. I mean, they're among the league leaders in the league in missed tackles. So they need to get better at that. I think what you're seeing a lot of is you've got so many young players and guys that are new to this entire system. They're playing tentatively. They're getting to the ball carrier, to the receivers slower than they should be because they're still thinking too much. At some point, you would hope it would become instinctive.
Rube, is there anything that Bill can do to improve the pass rush? Maybe abandon the two-gap principles and do more one-gap. Is there anything that you think he could do to maybe help Trent Cole, help the defensive linemen out a little more?
Schematically, I don't think so. I think what teams are doing is, like Domo alluded to, people know that you can complete low-risk, short passes against this defense right now and get yards after the catch because they're not tackling well. And when a quarterback's getting rid of the ball as fast as Alex Smith did, as fast as Peyton did, not RG3 as much, but when they're getting rid of the ball that quick and doing all this underneath stuff and going for the yards after the catch, it's really tough to get pressure. It's tough to get a guy there because they're getting rid of the ball so fast. So until they start making tackles at the point of attack, when they're, you know, when they have the chance and keeping those short passes from becoming long gains, listen, quarterbacks are completing 70% of their passes again because it's all underneath stuff and short, quick stuff. When teams are doing that, you're not going to get pressure.
Let's look ahead to Sunday. Eli Manning and Giants, 0-4. This defense looking to bounce back. Rube, how do you think this matchup works, whether it's in the Eagles' favor or the Giants' favor?
Well, it's a game the Eagles have to win. You know, you look at their next 8 opponents, none of them have a winning record right now. They don't play a team with a winning record until Detroit, a team that currently has, that's December 8th. So I think this is the beginning of a stretch where the Eagles have a chance to get back. If Denver beats Dallas and the Eagles win, they're in first place in the division. So they have a chance to get back in this thing. But, you know, the thing you worry about is their pass pressure and Eli to Victor Cruz deep. So Eagles have not given up the deep ball, but I think Eli and Victor do it better than anybody, maybe as well as Michael and Deshaun. To me, those are the two things. They've got to protect Michael better, and they've got to watch out for that deep ball.
Domo, the Giants last in the league in sacks. Do you think the Eagles can get back on track offensively and maybe be more productive in the red zone?
They need to be. You know, I mean, the Giants have lived off their pass rush. I mean, it's why they have, you know, it was a key in both of their Super Bowl victories, and it's just not the same. I mean, Justin Tuck isn't the same player he was 3 years ago. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul is coming off that back surgery and is not right yet. So, and I don't think there's anything that's going to change there real quick with their pass rush. So, I mean, they have a chance this week. I mean, Vic should get good protection. They should be able to run the ball. You know, the key is going to be finishing. They've got to do it, get it done in the red zone.
Paul Domage, Ruben Frank, phenomenal insight for both of you guys. Thank you very much for joining us here on this Cover 2 segment on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered.
AAA. Use it for all it's worth.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
You're home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
I'm Dave Spadaro, and today I'm here with Joe Giandonato from NovaCare Rehabilitation, and we're talking about some of the basics that the everyday athlete needs to stay hydrated. Joe, it's such an important part of our lives as athletes. What recommendations do you have?
Well, Dave, it's imperative that athletes are, hydrating properly to stave off, decrements in performance and also health issues. My suggestion to athletes that are, outside, what they need to do is they need to be ingesting about 6 to 8 ounces per 15 minutes of activity outdoors. In addition to that, they also need to be, making sure that, that they're never thirsty, because typically thirst is indicative of someone being dehydrated. Typically what's going to happen is, if someone is dehydrated, they're going to experience decrements in performance, their body temperature is going to rise, eventually they're going to, their mental acuity and focus is going to be altered as well. For someone who is, throughout the course of the day, they need to be ingesting about 150 to about 170 ounces of water for the course of the day.
Is there too much water that somebody can ingest?
Yes. In fact, there is a condition known as hyponatremia, which is known as water intoxication, that typically entails, an electrolyte imbalance, and it could cause, a cardiac arrhythmia.
Weather is getting a little bit cooler. Does the hydration change? Should we still be drinking as much fluid now that the weather's getting just a little bit cooler?
Absolutely. Dehydration can occur in cooler, temperatures and also in drier climates as well.
Joe, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate it.
That's your NovaCare Rehabilitation Tip of the Day.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Mm-hmm. You're home for the most live sports.
Xfinity.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Dave Spadaro with you, Eagles Live, the name of the show, Monday through Thursday here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And, of course, you can have it on your app, mobile site, wherever. Put it on your iPad. We're here every day for you. Eagles Live, Eagles Update, press conferences live, game day coverage. We got it all for you. Let's take a look at some practice coverage as we watch the Eagles on the practice field on this Thursday. We invite your phone calls, 215-339-6709. Looking for some predictions. Eagles Giants Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Eagles 2-1 at the Met. The two wins, DeSean Jackson, of course. And then Vince Young leading the Eagles to a victory a couple of years ago, throwing a touchdown pass to Riley Cooper. How about that? That's not Riley Cooper, but I was hoping it was. You know, they go through these warm-ups. We get to film the warm-ups. We get to film whatever we are allowed to show to give you a feel of what it's like to be 80 degrees in South Philadelphia in early October. Not too bad. Plus, the Eagles are going to need a little bit of that feeling next week in Tampa. I'm sure we'll have, once again, thousands and thousands of Eagles fans in Tampa, just as we had a huge showing of fans in Denver, and we thank you very much for that. Anthony in Connecticut joins us. Anthony, good morning.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Doing all right. I just had, like, maybe a question, yep, maybe a philosophy type thing. Maybe you can give me some insight on it. Okay. But I don't understand it. It seems from watching every game is the Eagles like this four wide receiver set, which when we were playing the Redskins, it worked great.
Yep.
However, I feel like everybody is just taking our wide receivers,
yep,
man-to-man, jamming them at the line, knocking off Vic's timing,
yep,
and it's totally killing our plays. And
yep,
I don't see any formation difference. We heard all about the two tight end set, how much it was going to be a big deal. And I don't think we haven't seen much, if any, in my estimation, of any formation difference. And I feel like we're being really vanilla and bland, and we're letting these games go by that we could have won.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I mean, look, I think that we're trying to understand what Chip's all about. I think there is obviously more to the offense. But understand this as well. This is a run-based offense. And the pass, and while the running game has been tremendous, the passing game needs to be better. I don't disagree with that at all. The answer is not going to come from going out and getting a wide receiver and he magically transformed. But the Eagles have to be better with what they have in the passing game. I agree.
I just think he talks about matchups, and I think, you know, you want to get better matchups with Celek and Casey and Ertz, and, you know, put those in better matchups, switch up the formation, and give us a chance. I mean, when we run the ball, we're successful. But when we pass the ball, it's just we're not changing our formation.
Yeah.
I think formation could definitely help us, but that's just my
here's the thing, and Chip said it again this morning, moving the ball between the 20s is really not what he's all about. They've got to figure out a way. They're doing that.
Absolutely.
How do you take the ball from the 20 into the end zone?
I absolutely.
So, what about this weekend, Anthony? What do you think?
I think we have the talent, and I also think, you know, we have the scheme to beat them. I would just like to see, again, some variation in formation, give the Giants something we haven't seen yet, and put, you know, stress out that defense that hasn't, you know, done well themselves. You know, ours hasn't been that great, but let's stress out, you know, find holes in that defense, because there are holes. I think in switching up formations and catching people by surprise and changing what we already have on film, it might, you know, it might give us an advantage there. I think we win this game. I think we win it by 10 points. That's my thought. Probably.
Give me a score.
20. Let's see. I want to go 24-24.
Anthony, let's hope so, man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and it's there's no question that this offense, they got to get back to scoring. They got to get back to scoring touchdowns. Moving the football, fine. Lead the NFC in total yards. Second in the NFL in yards per game. But the name of the game is points. The name of the game is touchdowns. All right, let's go to New York and talk to the Zompster. Zompy!
How about those birds, baby?
Glad to have you back, buddy.
Yo, let's go, man. It's Giant Week. Got to kick some butt, man. Let me tell you.
Name your three, from one to three, one being the most hated rivals of the Philadelphia Eagles.
New York Giants, New York Giants, New York Giants.
Now, come on. Give me one. Give me three.
New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys, and New England Patriots for me.
Okay.
That's just me.
I got you.
But, hey, I think the name of the game is pressuring the quarterback like it always is, especially against Eli. I think he folds under pressure. Not as good as his brother. He's a good quarterback, but not nearly as good as his brother. And, you know, I mean, listen. I mean, I don't know what to expect of the offense. I think that we should just continue doing what we're doing. We got to get off that man press coverage if we see it. Be a little bit more creative on offense. Defensively, I mean, you know me, how I feel. I like to press man, you know, try to beat us deep. You know, I think it's a little bit more, how do you say it, for the opposing quarterbacks. I think I would say to throw a deep ball is more of a challenge than to just throw 5 yard outs and ins and outs and stuff like that. So I'm like, let's challenge them up front. Let's win the battle at the line of scrimmage. And there's nothing better than to beat the New York Giants to start getting on a win streak, man.
Prediction.
I think a shootout. Very two bad defenses. I think I'm going to say 27-24 birds. And let me give an Eagles chance. It's been a long time.
Yes, go ahead.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, let's go, birds, baby.
Way to go, Zompy. Way to wake us up this morning.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, my man. And, yeah, I mean, the cry now from Eagles fans is we want more offense. Got to get some touchdowns. That's all. How do you get the red zone offense improved? Eagles are moving the football fine. Stay away from turnovers. How do you get it improved? One more phone call, 215-339-6709 on this Wednesday in South Philadelphia. To update you again on the injuries, no Patrick Chung on the practice field. And no Brandon Boykin on the practice field. Boykin expected, according to head coach Chip Kelly, to be back at practice, we hope, on Thursday, ready to go against the Giants. Chung, certainly not as certain there. He's missed a game, has a shoulder injury. That's about all we know, and it doesn't appear to be anything that's going to heal overnight. So we'll wait on Patrick Chung. Kevin in Kentucky joins us. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's first time getting through.
I know, man. What's on your mind today?
Basically, just want to see the Eagles get this needed win, of course.
Yes.
You know, I think we've got some winnable games coming up, and just get back on the winning track.
Now, how do you do that? Is your focus for this game, Kevin, more on the offense winning the football game, more on the defense winning the football game, special teams? You tell me.
I think that the defense, as long as it plays a little bit better, and the offense just has to get touchdowns, as everyone has talked before, and I think we'll be just fine, because I think the offense is one of the best in the league, as the numbers show, and as long as the defense just gives us a little bit of help, we're going to be all right.
Got a prediction for me?
I think it'll be Eagles 31, Giants 24.
Hey, Kevin, thanks, man. Thanks for joining in.
All right, thanks.
All right, you got it. All right, we will be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We've got a great show for you. Brian Baldinger in studio, Chris Polk, Eagles running back, and We break down a little bit of what the difference is with Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell, the 4-3 and the 3-4. What's it really mean? We'll take a look at that tomorrow on Eagles Live. We thank you for joining us today. Make sure you stay tuned for Eagles Update tonight. Eagles got to go get them. We're one day closer to Eagles-Giants on Sunday. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.